May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Were you all able to pick up a stone on your way in? I know it was kind of confusing with the palm crosses. If you might want to, if anybody would like a stone, put up your hand and maybe we can get you one. There's a couple. Alex, can you, thank you. Just keep your hand in the air and Alex will come around. So this is quite the day, isn't it? Traveling from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and immediately going to Jesus' ignominious death a week later. We read both of the stories this week, partly because they go together, but more importantly, because we can't really celebrate Easter without Good Friday. So, just to back up a little bit, we'll go back to creation. Adam and Eve, or humanity, was created to live in peace with God and with all of creation, to delight in his will and to walk in his ways. That's what we were created for. And we, represented in the story by Adam and Eve, chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now we know. Good is to love God and to love one another. Evil is the absence of good. Evil is when love should be there and it isn't. Think about that for a minute. Evil is when love should be there and it isn't. That kind of gives us even more responsibility for loving one another, doesn't it? So since Adam and Eve, we humans have had a responsibility for each other, a responsibility to love one another. And since Adam and Eve, we have been failing. God keeps on calling us. Well, there was the Tower of Babel, when people were getting beyond themselves, and he separated them out and said, try again. Noah, another let's clean it up and try again story. Abraham and Sarah, calling them into a new land to begin a new people where perhaps we would learn to love God and love one another. Moses, yet another opportunity to start all over again. The prophets of Israel, calling people to return to God. And finally, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came among us, calling us to extravagant, self-sacrificing love for all. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Wherever Jesus went, people were healed of ailments of every kind, physical deformities, illness, blindness, demonic possession, which we might call addiction or mental illness. Wherever he went, people were healed of every kind of ailment except for hardness of heart. We have to choose to love one another. People who believed that Jesus' teaching was truly of God, that all the law and the prophets are dependent on the two great commandments, to love God and love one another, these people became Jesus' followers. People who could not accept this teaching became his enemies. The author of John's Gospel quotes Jesus as saying to Nicodemus about God's only Son, "Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." And John describes Jesus as the light of the world. Well, in between the people who recognized Jesus' teaching and accepted it, and the people who recognized Jesus' teaching and rejected it, were a whole lot of people who just didn't get it. And I think if I had been alive then, this is probably the group I would be in. In many ways, Palm Sunday is about these people. Many of the people who were waving palm branches and singing Hosanna when Jesus rode into Jerusalem knew they were welcoming the Messiah, but they thought the Messiah was going to lead them out of bondage to Rome and into political freedom. And ironically, they were right about that. In the year 380 AD, the Emperor Theodosius I made Nicene Christianity the state church of the Roman Empire. All of the Roman Empire became Christian. Christ conquered Rome. Christ conquered Rome with love. It's the slow way, but it has lasted. Rome is still pretty Christian. But the people on the streets of Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday thought that they knew how God was going to conquer Rome. They thought they knew what God's plan was for them. This time, finally, with God on their side, they would be free. And then he died. He didn't just die. He was arrested, tried, convicted, and executed as an enemy of Rome. And he didn't even put up a struggle. He didn't call for them to rise up and throw off the oppressor. He turned the other cheek and let them kill him. Everything they had hoped and dreamed for was gone. No wonder they refused to have him released and called for Barabbas instead. Ultimately, what they were saying to God was, "My will be done. If you aren't going to save the world my way, then I don't want anything to do with you." In some ways, I think it was a failure of imagination. They couldn't imagine a world in which love for your neighbor, including your neighbor who is your enemy, could work. And I think it's still a difficult thing for most of us to imagine, a world in which love for our neighbors, including our enemies, could work. But in many ways, it was a failure of trust, a failure to trust that even if I can't figure out how you're going to do this, that no matter what happens, you intend only good for me. A failure to trust that loving my neighbor, even my enemy, is the only solution in the end. So, as we hold these stones in our hands, let's think of times in our lives when God or God's people have disappointed us, have hurt us. and ask ourselves if we have been saying to God, "My will be done." Have we been unable to imagine how love could work? Have we failed to trust God? Have we failed to trust love? Have we cried, "Crucify him"? So as you come up for communion, I invite you to lay down the stones of your hurt, your anger, your distrust in the crown of thorns, and accept instead the body and blood, the self-sacrificing love of Jesus. Amen.